The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah took effect on Wednesday under a deal brokered by the United States and France. But the Lebanese army has said that Israel has violated the ceasefire with Hezbollah several times already. Joining me now to talk about this is Fawaz Gerges, who is former director of the London School of Economics and Political Science in Istanbul, en route to Beirut. Fawaz, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, what do you make of those reports? I mean, was this kind of to-ing and fro-ing inevitable, that there would be allegations of breaches and responses and so on as everything settles down?
You know, Pat, let me give your listeners the context of what we have seen in the past 2 days. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has given 2 major television interviews in the past 24 hours. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, the ceasefire does not really mean that the war will end. That what he's really saying is that Israel reserves the right to carry out attacks anytime it deems necessary in Lebanon. And Israel has received assurances, private assurances, from the United States, from the Biden administration, that it does have the right to carry out attacks if and when it thinks that Hezbollah violates this the agreement, the ceasefire agreement. If the past 24 hours or 2 days are an example, a guide, it tells me, sadly and tragically, we're going to see more and more attacks because Netanyahu is trying to convince his social base, his extremist coalition, that he will basically do whatever it takes to preserve Israel's absolute security, not just in Gaza, but even in Syria and Lebanon. I fear that unless the United States and France intervenes to really basically establish some red lines, this fragile ceasefire might not last for too long.
Now, we've been talking about this ceasefire in terms of a strategy by Netanyahu, simply a waiting game. It lasts 60 days, and during that period, Israel begins to withdraw and to be complete after that time. But 60 days is just the time before Trump comes to the White House. So is that what this is all about?
Well, it's really all about basically continuing the war by different means. I think in Lebanon, it seems to me, I'm a bit cautiously optimistic, because even the Trump administration wants an end to the intense phase of the war in Lebanon, the Israel's intense phase. This does not really mean that Netanyahu will not carry out attacks in Lebanon, as he has been doing in Syria, as you know, in the past few years, thousands of Israelis attacks. But really the big picture here is that Gaza has been forgotten. The Palestinians have been forsaken. And what you're going to witness now is more escalation by Israel in Gaza. He feels, because he wants to reassure the Israeli public, he wants absolute victory in Gaza. We wake up every day. How many interviews you've had me on, Pat? Literally every day, there's a massacre or two every day in Gaza. And it seems to me that what Netanyahu will tell the Trump administration, look, I have given you a gift in Lebanon, a ceasefire, but you have to accept the fact that my military will remain in Gaza for the following years. I will basically continue to occupy the Philadelphia border between Israel and Egypt. And in fact, I will not pull out of Gaza. What we're going to see is more consolidation of Israeli military occupation in Gaza in the next few years, and a war of attrition between Hamas and Israel. Interestingly, a Hamas senior official 2 days ago, after the Lebanese ceasefire, the Israeli Hezbollah ceasefire, made it very clear. He said, we are open to a ceasefire, to ending the war anytime that the United States and Qatar and Egypt basically gets involved. Hamas wants a ceasefire, but Hamas wants an end to the war, while Netanyahu wants a partial ceasefire to get his hostages back and continue his military occupation in Gaza. And this really seems like a suicidal deal for Hamas. That's why it seems to me that even when the Trump administration will basically enter the White House on the 1st of January, the debate will not be about really Israel pulling out of Gaza. The big debate will be about whether Israel will really annex the West Bank, the occupied West Bank. This is really where we are now. It's no longer, no one really cares about Gaza. It's about whether Israel and the extremist religious Zionist coalition will annex the last bit of Palestinian territories. That's the West Bank.
Trump is unpredictable, but we know that he is surrounded by people who have that kind of ambition for Israel. What do you think is likely to happen? Is he likely to just allow Netanyahu to do what he wants, to choose his own direction with a guaranteed support from the United States? Or would Trump have any red line whatsoever?
I don't think so. I think the people you really, what we need to, Donald Trump does not give a damn about Israel or the Palestinians or the Lebanese or the Syrians or the Europeans. Donald Trump really cares about one man, and that's Donald Trump. But the team around Donald Trump is one of the most extremist. They are on the far right of the Benjamin Netanyahu coalition. That's how bad it is. The defense secretary, the secretary of state, the National Security Council, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, his ambassador to Israel does not really believe they are Palestinians. He said, who are the Palestinians? They don't exist. He said, the West Bank, there is no West Bank. So at the end of the day, what I think, Netanyahu has two overarching goals. The first goal is to deepen Israel's military control of Gaza. And this is already happening. He has already segmented, divided the Gaza Strip into two sections. And a huge, massive area on the northern Israeli borders security zone. And finally, Iran. Iran is it. And he said it, you know, when he gave his speech to the Israeli public after the Israeli Hezbollah deal. He said, I want to focus on Iran. Iran is the greatest strategic threat in the eyes of Netanyahu. So my fear, here is what I fear. I fear that Israel and Netanyahu and his coalition will really aim to annex the West Bank, and Donald Trump is on board. He has already given assurances to his donors. He received tens of millions of dollars, and his donors have made it very clear that the West Bank is really it, the prize. And secondly, he might really basically try to pour gasoline on the raging fire between the team, the Trump team, security and foreign policy team, and Iran. So could we really witness or see a war between the United States and Israel on the one hand, and Iran? I would say it's 50-50%. Will I see the Israeli forces pulling out of Gaza? Probably 90% no. Could we see the annexation of the West Bank? Probably 45% yes. So this is really where we are. And the Lebanese, to come back to your major theme about the Israel-Hezbollah deal, I think Israel will continue to carry out attacks unilaterally in Lebanon, as it has been doing in Syria. And this could really basically implode the deal, because Hezbollah has made it very clear, if they are attacked, they will respond, quote unquote.
Now, so, can you explain for us why America wanted an end to this operation in Lebanon? I mean, being unconcerned, it would appear, about what's going on in Gaza. What is it about Lebanon? Is there a big American-Lebanese population in the United States?
Absolutely. And Donald Trump, his son-in-law, is Lebanese, as you know. And his son-in-law has really been pushing throughout the presidential campaign for a ceasefire in Lebanon. And you have a very powerful, influential Lebanese community, which is really part of the conservative, the Republican team, and Donald Trump. Also, France has played a major role. France really feels very strongly about Lebanon because of historical colonial connections. And finally, you have a government in Lebanon, and you have Lebanon is deeply divided. And the Americans believe that the only way to really, conquer and undermine Hezbollah is to broker a ceasefire and basically remake the Lebanese scene, basically bring about the anti-Hezbollah and the pro-American factions into power in Lebanon in the next few weeks and next few months. So multiple factors. And finally, Pat, and this is really probably your listeners are not really fully aware of this particular point. The overarching goal of Netanyahu was to basically bring his 60 or 80,000 displaced people, to bring them back to their homes on the Israeli-Lebanese front. The war itself, after more than a year, Netanyahu has realized that they cannot really been, they could not, he could not really return the 60 or 80,000 Israelis to their homes without a ceasefire in Lebanon. Hezbollah, even though Hezbollah is down, it's not out. Hezbollah has proven to be resilient, capable of fighting back, especially his ground forces, and hitting the heartland, whether it's Haifa or Tel Aviv. So all in all, multiple factors have really converged to bring about the ceasefire. But the question for your listeners and for the world, Netanyahu does not really believe in the end of the war in Lebanon. He believes in a limited partial ceasefire. And that's why the ceasefire will continue to be very fragile and tenuous unless the Americans make it very clear that this is the end of Israel's war in Lebanon.
Paulus, thank you very much for joining us. Fawaz Gergay is former director of the London School of Economics and Political Science. Some of the comments coming in, as usual, the losers in the Middle East are the Palestinians. Israel will now concentrate on Gaza and colonizing the remaining West Bank. That's from Dahi. The ceasefire, if you can call it that, is a cop-out and not a ceasefire, but rather a green card for Israel to do what it wants, when it wants in Lebanon. Israel gets to decide if they feel there is even a threat to them, and so will attack again and again. And that is the license that is granted under the terms of this ceasefire. Why speak of President Trump stopping the war in Gaza? He's not in power for two more months. Biden is doing absolutely nothing, yet you drone on daily about a man who isn't the US president yet. Why not call out Biden? Well, we've called out the United States so many times for their inactivity and for constantly supplying the weaponry that facilitates Israel's conduct of that war. But the point is that Biden is a lame duck now, and no matter what he wants to do, there's very little he will be able to do in the next 60 days. And then Donald Trump comes in, and it's more the strategic nature of the Trump presidency and what it will allow to happen in the Middle East that is concerning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.